Now, if you will, take your Bibles, please, and turn with me to Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2, and we'll be looking at several verses this morning. But this will kind of be the jumping off part. Hebrews chapter 2, that'll be on page 1293. Your Scofield Bible, 1293, Hebrews 2. And verse number 15. And deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we thank you for the blessings that we've had in being in your house this morning. We thank you for the sweet fellowship that we enjoy. We thank you for the music. And now we come down to the most important part of any service, and that's the preaching of your word. And I pray you'll bind Satan from our minds and from our midst. I pray you'll help us to concentrate on the preaching of your word, and I pray that we'll not be thinking about activities planned for later in the day. Power me to preach your word. Save those who may be lost. Reclaim those who may be backslidden. And do a work in every one of our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. The date was December the 7th, 1941. I was a young 7-year-old boy. We lived down at 1714 North 12th Street, just a few blocks from where we are this morning. Went to Linwood Grade School, where I graduated in the 8th grade in 1948. And I, along with all Americans, were listening to our radios. Weren't many television in those days. President Franklin Delano Roosevelt was about to speak to United States citizens all across this country. The Japanese had just bombed Pearl Harbor, and our country had been attacked. President Roosevelt said those now famous words, "This date in history, December the 7th, 1941, will go down in infamy." Exactly 10 years ago today, September the 11th, 2001, our country was attacked again. This day, too, will go down in infamy. 1,402 were killed in Tower 1 of the World Trade Center. 614 were killed in Tower 2. At Cantor Fitzgerald, an institute, financial institute, on the 101st through the 105th floors of the North Tower, 658 were killed. Many of them leaped to their deaths rather than stay and be burnt to a crisp. Among those killed were 343 firefighters, 23 New York Police Department officers, 37 Port Authority police officers were killed, 184 were killed at the Pentagon, and on Flight 93, Todd Beaver and 39 others lost their lives as Todd and other brave men tried to take over a plane that had been hijacked in order to keep it from flying into the Capitol building or the White House. They were successful in doing that, but the plane crashed in a field in Pennsylvania, and 40 were killed. A total of 2,819 people lost their lives on that day. What happened to them? Where are they now? I'd like for you to stand for just a moment, as we're going to pause in the message, and I want us to have a moment of silence in remembering those almost 3,000 that died and their loved ones that were left behind. Thank you. You may be seated. Some 160,000 people on planet Earth die every 24 hours. What happened to them? By the way, there are 360,000 births in the world every 24 hours. So far this year, I've conducted the funeral services for Helen Morrison, Charles Hazelgrove, Leota Long, Roger Berkey, Dr. Tom O'Connor, Ralph Taylor, and John Rayburn. What has happened to them? Turn with me in your Bibles to John chapter 11, please. John's Gospel, the 11th chapter, page 1131. John chapter 11, page 1131. Our Lord is speaking, and I want you to look with me in verse number 25 and 26. John 11, 25 and 26. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Notice those words again, shall never die. Of course the body dies, but the soul and spirit cannot die. Why? Because when God created man, he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul, and man has God's breath in him, and so man is going to live as long as God lives, and that's forever. At death, the saved souls and spirits of those who have been born again go to the present temporary heaven where they're waiting for their glorified bodies, and they will enter into the new permanent heaven. At the death of all of the lost, the Christ deniers, their soul and spirit go into a temporary place called hell as they await the resurrection of their bodies, and one day will be cast into the permanent hell called in the Bible, the lake of fire. Those two present temporary places, paradise or heaven and hell, are the abode of all of those who have died, beginning back with Adam and Eve. God allowed Paul to visit heaven one time when he lived down here upon this earth. He wasn't allowed to describe much about it, but he did say a few words now and then. Go over with me to Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1, page 1258 in your Scofield Bible. Philippians chapter 1. And look with me at verse number 21, Philippians 1, verse 21. Paul's the human author, and under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he says, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Paul said, I was allowed to go to heaven. I've walked the streets of gold. I've been there. And I want you to know, it's a gain over anything we have down here. And he goes on in verse number 23, for I am a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Said, ever since I've been to heaven, I have a great desire to go back there. However, God was not finished with him yet. He had more work for him to do. Look in verse 24. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. Stephen saw this present heaven as he was being stoned to death. Go back to your left a little bit and stop at Acts chapter 7. Acts the 7th chapter, page number 1158. Acts chapter 7. Look at verses 55 and 56 with me, please. 55 and 56. But he, speaking of Stephen, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly unto heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Stephen was in a human body while he was preaching the longest sermon recorded in Scripture. He had said that God came down to this earth to deliver his suffering people. Look there in that same chapter at verse number 34. I have seen, God says, I have seen the affliction of my people, which is in Egypt, and I have heard their groaning and am come down to deliver them. As he was dying, Stephen saw that temporary heaven that was and still is a physical, literal place. These seven that I have just mentioned that I've done their funerals so far this year, they have left this land of the dying and they've gone on to the land of the living. And that land of the living is just as physical as is this land of the dying. I believe those seven are in that land of the living. I think they are enjoying all of the things of that's in heaven, and who knows how many things there are. I think they're eating food in heaven. Remember that Jesus in his resurrected body ate physical food? Go back with me to your left to Luke chapter 24. Luke 24, page 1112. Luke chapter 24, page 1112. Look at verse 41 of Luke chapter 24. Verse 41. And while they yet believed not for joy and wondered, he said unto them, have ye here any meat? And they gave him a piece of a broiled fish and of an honeycomb, and he took it and did eat before them. So I thank those seven of our church family who have left us this year, are in a temporary physical heaven, living in a temporary physical body, and they're eating physical food. Now let's go over to Matthew, back to Matthew from your left to Luke, Matthew 17, page 1022, Matthew chapter 17. I'm going to begin reading in verse number 1 and following, Matthew 17, verse 1. And after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into a high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias, or Elijah, talking with him. Notice they saw both Moses and Elijah, and they had physical bodies. You can't see a spirit. And even though Peter and James and John never saw either Moses or Elijah in person down here upon this earth, they immediately recognized them. There was no introduction necessary. So I believe the temporary body resembles the earthly body, as will our glorified bodies. Jesus said this temporary heaven is one day going to pass away. Look with me to Mark. If you're there in Matthew, just to your right, the next book, to Mark chapter 13. Mark 13, page 1064. And look at verse number 31 with me. Mark chapter 13 and verse 31. And Jesus says those familiar words in verse 31. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. He also said there would be a new heaven when this current one passes away. Go over to the last book of the Bible, Revelation, near the end of the Revelation, chapter 21. Chapter 21, page 1351, Revelation chapter 21, and look at verse number 1. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away. The Bible indicates that this earth is a shadow of heavenly things. Believers will eat fruit from the tree of life. Heaven has scrolls, elders, faces, martyrs who wear clothes, and people holding palm branches. Go back again to Revelation, if you would, please. This time, the 7th chapter, Revelation chapter 7, page 1337. Revelation chapter 7. Look with me at verse number 9, Revelation 7, verse 9. After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, and palms in their hands. There are musical instruments in heaven, as well as there are horses and eagles and other kinds of animals. Go back to Revelation again, the 8th chapter, if you will. Revelation chapter 8. And look with me at verse number 6. Revelation 8 and verse 6. And the seven angels which had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound. There are literal trumpets in heaven. Look at verse number 13. And I beheld and heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth by reason of the other voices of the trumpets of the three angels which are yet to sound. So there are musical instruments there. Let's go over to the 19th chapter of Revelation. Revelation 19. And look with me at verse number 14. Revelation 19, 14, page 1348. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. So there are horses in heaven. You remember Elijah, how he went up to heaven? He went up and rode in a chariot to heaven, somewhat probably like our space shuttle. God's original creation will be dissolved and replaced by his new creation. God's people would gain much, much more than that which was lost in his first creation. The Bible as a whole is really just one long, great story. And it has the same topics to begin with and the very same topics to end with. So for a few moments, I want you to take your Bibles and turn to Genesis 1 and then Revelation 21. We're not having time to do all of the verses because we've got communion yet to follow. But you can do the best that you can. and you jot the verses down, and then you can look at them later. Genesis chapter 1 and Revelation chapter 21, and we're going to look and see how the Bible begins and ends with the same topics. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1, God created the heaven and the earth. Then in Revelation chapter 21 and verse 1, near the last words of the Bible, says, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. In Genesis chapter 1 and verse 10, we read about the gatherings of water God called the sea. In Revelation 21 and verse 1, we read, in the end, God said, there will be no more sea. In Genesis 1:15, the Bible says, the darkness God called night. In Revelation 21 and verse 25, we read, there shall be no night there. In Genesis 1:16, we read, in the beginning, God made two great lights called the sun and the moon. In Revelation 21 and verse 23, we read, there shall be no need of the sun or moon. In Genesis 2:17, God warned the inhabitants of Eden, in the day you eat thereof, you shall surely die. In Revelation 21 and verse 4, there shall be no more death. In Revelation 3:16, we read, I will greatly multiply your pain. In Revelation 21 and verse 4, it says, neither shall there be any pain anymore. In Genesis 3:17, we read, cursed is the ground for your sake. In Revelation 22 and verse 3, says, there shall be no more curse. In Genesis 3:1-4, we read, Satan appears as the great deceiver of mankind. In Revelation 20 and verse 10, he is cast into the lake of fire where he will never, ever deceive anybody again. Praise God. In Genesis 3:22-24, Adam and Eve were driven from the tree of life. In Revelation 22 and verse 2, it says the tree of life reappears in the New Jerusalem. In Genesis 3:24, Adam and Eve were driven from God's presence. In Revelation 22 and verse 4, it says they shall see his face. He will dwell with them forever. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. When he comes, he's going to be with us, and we're going to see him. And not only are we going to see him, we're going to be like him. Go back to 1 John chapter 3, just before the book of Jude, before Revelation. 1 John chapter 3, page 1323 in your Scofield Bible. 1323. John chapter 3, look at verse number 2. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. Praise God for that day, because we're going to see him as he is. What has happened to the dead? The saved are in a temporary body, in a temporary heaven. The lost, the Christ rejecters, are in a temporary body, in a temporary hell. Both of them are waiting to have their earthly bodies resurrected. Then the saved in Christ will enter into a permanent heaven, while the lost will enter into a permanent lake of fire. I don't know if you read the letters to the editors in the Journal and Courier. I don't pay much attention to them at all. But this one kind of caught my eye. It was written by a lady. She's talking about why Faith Baptist dropped the term Baptist from their name. And I think as I read this, this lady speaks for many, many churchgoers today. Listen to a little bit of it. She says, and I quote, I grew up in a scary denomination with lots of gloomy, frightening, fire and brimstone preaching, the kind I've been preaching for 38 years now, talking about a Baptist church. As an adult, I chose to avoid churches like the plague, believing in my heart my God is a pretty good-hearted fella and not bent on my personal damnation. She certainly does not know the Bible. Then she goes on and says, I'm not alone in being put off by the connotation behind the word Baptist. The level-headed reasoning behind the church name change is the very reason I let my guard down and enjoy going with no fear. Occasionally I go with no fear. I will not be scared out of my wits by all the negativity. I feel sorry for her. And I feel sorry for the millions and millions of other churchgoers that feel the same way as what she's put down in print. They want to go to church today and have their ears tickled. Make me feel good. Nothing but positive messages. Don't ever mention sin anymore. But how often the Bible says, thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not. They don't want any judgment to be talked about. Only talk about the love of God, never about the wrath of God. Well, look with me in one more scripture in Jude, just before Revelation. Little book of Jude, just before Revelation. I want to show you a couple of verses here. Yeah, I'll give you the page number, page 1329, Jude. And look at verses 22 and 23 with me. Verse 22. And of some have compassion, making a difference. Multitudes come to Christ by our compassion for them. And that is so needful. But not everybody comes that way. Look at verse 23. And others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire. It's all right to scare people out of hell and into heaven. The Bible teaches that. Would to God that pastors in America would get back to preaching the whole gospel and not just the parts that they want to preach about and that people want to hear about. What has happened to the dead? Where are you going to go when you die? You going to go to heaven or are you going to go to hell? It all depends upon what you do with Jesus Christ. Would you bow with me in prayer, please? Father in heaven, we thank you for your word. And Lord, we do our best around here to preach it as you would have us to preach it. I know oftentimes we fail and we're sorry and forgive us, but we try. And would to God that would be the true in all churches in America, that at least they would try their best to preach the word of God as the Holy Spirit gives it to them. My, this nation needs a revival so bad. And we pray for that. We pray for that revival that it'll come soon. Now, I don't know. I can't look down into the hearts of the folks in this auditorium. I can't see down deep in their hearts. Only you can see there and they can see there, but that's all. And I don't know who's going to heaven and who's not. I have no idea on that. I can guess, but I don't know for sure. But I pray if there's one here that's not sure they're going to heaven, that at the invitation they'll come and give their hearts and lives to Christ. I pray they'll do that. Pray you bless the invitation as only you can do. In Jesus' name, amen.